Good evening. This is somewhere where I'm not used to being, so bear with me this evening. I'm sure my nerves will play into it somewhat, and if you find me reading off my paper, it's because most of it's typed up in case I do have to look down. It's not because I don't want to see you this evening. Dave asked me what I was going to speak on a little while ago, and I told him it's basically on communication, and he said, "Oh, you're going to use your cell phone?" I'm like, "Only if I need to phone a friend." So my phone flips out during the message. I'm looking for help. No. So going off that, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, Lord, we just thank you for being able to gather together as individuals and family friends in this church, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the believers that are here, and we thank you for all that they mean to me and to my family and to everyone around us. Be with me this evening. Pray that the words that will come to me this evening, that I'll be able to get them out in an appropriate manner. Thank you for your Son, Lord. Amen. So communication, everything around us these days is based off communication. We have cell phones, computers, emails, text messaging, billboards, books, everything is based off communication. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting in a staff meeting, and we kind of got our hands slapped, and it was not directly to me, but to most of us. And in my line of work with the Lifelike team, a lot of our communication goes over our little walkie-talkie radios. And I'm, for one, not one to keep it on me, but their reasoning for getting on us about that is there's a breakdown in communication when we don't communicate with each other, whether at bedside, whether we're away from each other to need something for the truck, for the patient. It directly affects our patient care. Teamwork is kind of key in the line of work that I'm in. This being said, kind of had me thinking about communication as Christian. Three types of communications that came to me right away was our communicating with God, for one, communicating with unbelievers, and communicating with other Christians. And tonight, what I wanted to speak on is about the third, and that's communicating with each other. Message directed towards myself. Obviously, it means more to me if it's something that I can kind of point the finger at me, because I know it's something that I'm delinquent in and don't do a good job with communicating with other Christians on a regular basis, whether it's through busy with our own daily activities or home life or work. A lot of times there's a breakdown with it. Just like to take time this evening to read several different sections of Scripture, some that have been encouraging to me and hopefully will be an encouragement to you also. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm reading these first couple. These are just some of the different scriptures from Paul that he's written as encouragement to some of the believers, and I thought it was a good starting point. Let's start at verse 7, read to verse 12. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In these letters, he starts out with giving praise to the different saints that he is addressing. And I don't think I'm out of place to say that his words are heartfelt. He's very sincere with what he says. Verse 9 states that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. I truly believe that when he says it, he's meaning it. Verses 11 and 12, he gives a sincere desire to be with the saints there at Rome. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And the same thing here, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Again, just admonishing the saints and making known that they are in his prayers. Let's turn over to chapter 3. In verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. These scriptures, we're encouraged with direction on how we should esteem one another. We should bear with one another. Sometimes that's tougher than it sounds. Forgive one another. And verse 14 says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It says, how are we to be bonded to perfection? And that's with love. And I think that ties all of those together. Let's look at some of the negative forms of communication that we are warned against in Scripture. Let's turn to James chapter 4. I've always been taught, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So it teaches us here not to speak evil of one another. James chapter 5, verse 9. It says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Let me back up a little bit and go to verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Ye also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. At this, it's a testing of our patience. And by these things being in Scripture, I'm assuming there's grumbling going on somewhere that he is warning them against. So our patience can be tried, causing us to grumble with one another. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Starting at verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Now, if we turn over to Romans chapter 14, verse 21. It's a little bit different as far as communication goes, but I kind of see it more like body language that's spoken to believers, maybe not verbally spoken, but just in their actions. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. At this point, I'm going to step away from the negatives and move more towards how our communication can be effective towards one another. I'm going to stay right there in Romans and go back up to verse 16. This is kind of a response to how we should deal with not making our brother stumble. Starting in verse 16, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another. So, with this one, eating and drinking should be minimized, because that's not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We should be encouraged not to cause our brother to stumble. Accountability is next what I had written down here. We could turn back over to James chapter 5. I believe accountability plays a huge role in our Christian walk. I know during our financial peace, we're all held accountable. We came here on a weekly basis to be accountable to each other. Definitely made the transition of how we were spending to the way that we were leading ourselves to go by having somebody to be accountable to. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's a great start in accountability, praying for one another and confessing your trespasses to one another. Chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Communicate to someone around, lest they stumble. This is a real big one for us in the medical field. If we see something that's going on and we don't say anything about it, somebody could get really hurt in it. Same thing goes with us as Christians. If we see a fellow believer that is stumbling in their walk and we say nothing about it, that plays a role in our conscience. We should say something about it, lest they stumble. Turn them away, or even, it says you may even save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins in this one. So that's pretty serious there. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submit to one another. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 5, likewise, the younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How should we encourage one another then? In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ forgave you. Hebrews chapter 10. Sorry, I know we're jumping a lot of scriptures around here. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. NIV version, I was just looking at different versions on it, says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. I really enjoyed the wording of this. I was helping my friend out in Seattle. His son's in the Pee Wee League football, and just the way this thing's worded sounds like a pregame time for football or basketball, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to really get somebody fired up. You want to fire the football team up pregame and get them going. This kind of has that same connotation to it, that you want to stir up towards love and good works. Colossians chapter 4, in verse 6, I think this is worded in text more towards the unbeliever. Look, verse 5, we'll read verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Like I said, it's more geared towards the unbeliever, but our speech towards one another also should be seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer each one. There are certain things that we do as believers that we really need to take our time and think about how we want to word and approach each other in our communication. I'm going to turn back over to Romans now. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So again, we're just looking at how should we encourage one another. If we turn over to chapter 14, in verse 16. Oh, I've already went over that. Sorry. Go to chapter 15, in verse 7. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now, part of our communication should be from the time the person hits the door, whether it's somebody that's a visitor or just somebody that you've known for a long time. Our communication should be receiving one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We'll be cutting a little short this evening, but in conclusion this evening, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they all were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. This kind of speaks in language that I'm used to, because I'm used to dealing with the human body in my line of work. We are all one body, and the body to perform properly, we must all communicate. Medically speaking, if one part of the body is not functioning, that part's said to be stroked out or paralyzed. The body is not functioning to its full potential. As chapter 12 so gracefully words it, even the smallest member, seen or unseen, plays a role in the body of Christ to keep things operating smoothly. As fellow believers, keep your communications with each other open. As with Paul in his letters, be sincere in your praise to one another. Be sincere when you say, I'll pray for you, that you follow through with what you're doing. Praise one another. Pray for one another. Be bonded to perfection with love. Be accountable to one another, and spur one another to love and good deeds. I hope these scriptures are encouraging to you this evening. There are many scriptures that can be found throughout the Bible related to exhorting one another. Read, study, and be encouraged. Thank you.